This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We had this man in studio a few months ago before the pandemic. That's Buccaneers running back Dare Ogunbowale, who is here with us on the show, special teams captain as well for Tampa. And he's back with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Dare, great to have you back on. How you been, my friend?
I'm good. Good to be back. Life's been good for me. How about you guys?
Well, life's been okay. You know, a lot going on in the world, but we're still doing the show, and we're still trying to have fun each and every day. But last time you came in studio with us, we were asking you about Jameis Winston and if he would be coming back to the Buccaneers. Now Jameis Winston, of course, is with the Saints, and you got a pretty good quarterback now in Tampa with Tom Brady. Take me back to the day, Dare Ogunbowale, when you found out that Tom Brady was joining the Buccaneers organization.
So, I found out in a group chat. Guys were all just texting, "Did you hear the news? Did you hear the news? We got Tom Brady." And it was crazy. You know, it was fun. I get texts from all my family, calls from my family, just like, "You're about to be playing with the GOAT and stuff." And, like, it was cool. So that's how that day went. Obviously, I didn't meet him till a while after that. But, when we found out he was coming to the Bucs, it was a pretty exciting day.
Did you believe it at first when you got that group text?
I believe it, just because all my homies, I feel like I got some reliable friends, so I don't think they would be trying to mess with me like that. The Gronk thing, I did not believe the Gronk one. I thought they were messing with me on that one. But, yeah, when they said that we got Brady, I believed them.
Yeah, well, what do you think Gronk has left in the tank after taking a year off?
I'm just going to say that he looks good. He looks real good. He looks fast. He looks explosive. I'm excited to see him play once he gets pads on, for sure. But he looks real good.
You got a pretty damn good tight end room now. Cameron Brate, you got Rob Gronkowski, one of the greatest tight ends ever, and then O.J. Howard. That's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I didn't even talk about Godwin or Evans yet. I don't know. I don't understand how people are going to stop your offense this year.
Yeah, I don't really understand either. we got a lot of weapons, a lot of great players, a lot of smart players, which is fun to be around too, because I'm just constantly learning football. But no, we got a really good group of guys on this offense.
Dare Ogunbowale from the Buccaneers here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So take me through that first workout with Brady. On what? It was like that high school field or some type of field. I saw you guys working out. Take me through the details of that workout.
We mostly just routes, you know, kind of getting acclimated with each other, just finding how each other likes things. And it was good. A good group of guys are there, receivers, tight ends, and a couple backs. And we've been going and getting good work in. It was a lot of routes, a lot of running, and a lot of learning, like I said before.
How do you continue to try to build on the chemistry right now? I know you get to do a little workouts here and there. If you guys get together, you have the virtual meetings online as well. But as we're all altering our lives and doing things differently, how do you try to build that chemistry with your teammates right now with some new faces?
It's really not that hard when you got a guy like Tom in the huddle. The way he runs our workouts is like a practice. Instead of just telling us run a dig or something like that, he's telling us the full play call. He's doing his cadence as if we were in the game. He's doing adjustments, doing the hops and tights. So, with a guy like him, it's really easy to kind of be building chemistry and kind of emulating that whole practice environment. So it's been really easy, actually.
Has anything surprised you so far in your brief interactions with Brady?
I wouldn't say surprised. I mean, you follow football. I mean, you know a lot about Tom Brady already. It's just something you see how hard of a worker he is, how detailed he is, and he's cool. He's funny. I mean, he likes to joke around too. So I wouldn't say I'm too surprised by anything. I guess seeing him in person, he's taller than I expected. But no, I wouldn't say I'm too surprised by him too much.
No, I'm a Patriot fan, so I'm still a little bit devastated that Brady's going to be playing in a new uniform. But watching Tom for the last 20 years, it's good to be you because you could catch the ball out of the backfield, seeing some game tape of you last year. And we know how many running backs have had success with Tom out of the backfield, James White and Shane Vereen recently, and we've seen some others too over the years. How about what you could potentially bring to this team this year as there's some open positions in that running back room?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to building on my role from last year. Last year I had a good season, made some catches, made some plays. Looking to build on that this year. Gaining that trust with Tom is a big part of that. And I feel like we've been doing a good job of that this offseason and through these workouts. But obviously still making sure I keep my role on special teams. That's going to be a big part of me this season also. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
For you guys, and we talked so much about the offense because Brady's getting there, but I made the point that I actually think with the addition of Brady and how few turnovers he throws, your defense is going to benefit the most. Take us through what you saw out of your defense last year, and what do you think the Bucs defensively are going to look like in 2020?
It's a special group, man. They're a good group of guys. Great players, smart players. Towards the end of the season, you kind of got to see as they kind of got that continuity. We had a lot of young guys. So towards the end of the season, as they were getting more experience and getting more comfortable, it was impressive to see how good they were playing. They're playing lifestyle defense. So that's kind of one of the least of our worries right now is that defense. We got the whole front seven pretty much coming back. Our DBs have got another year of experience under their belt. This should be a pretty scary group of guys.
When we get away from, obviously, all that's happening in the world, and we just talk about the feel in these meetings, and obviously they're different because they're being done now via the computer instead of in person, unless if you have these individual workouts on your own. Where's the vibe at this year, in your opinion, just being in some of these meetings with Brady and Gronk there compared to where it was maybe this time last year?
It's different just because it's different, you know. Everyone's learning. Everyone's kind of getting things as we go. The schedule's fluid. I mean, we get a new update from the NFLPA almost every day, just kind of how the offseason schedule keeps changing and things keep getting pushed back. So, but guys got to be flexible, and guys have been. We're all staying positive. Like I said, we're still trying to find ways to have fun with it. It's football at the end of the day, and it's something that we all love to do. And so we've still been kicking it and just enjoying our time and stuff like that together. But like you said, yeah, it is a lot different, and guys have had to adapt for sure.
Do you expect the season to start on time? Have you heard anything on that front?
I do expect it to start on time, and that's really all I can say. I'm not really kind of versed in the whole situation of what's going on with the X's and O's and the politics of the season starting. But I personally feel like it'll start on time. How many fans will be there, yada, 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 that is completely up in the air in my opinion. But I do think we'll have the season starting on time.
How would that impact you, Dari Agunbowale, if there's no fans in the stands come week one?
Well, come week one, if there's no fans in the stands, I'll be a happy guy because we play in the Superdome.
that's a good point.
It'll be different for sure. I mean, that's something that you definitely feed off the energy of the fans. Especially being on third down, like that's one of the things that's one of the elements that you have to overcome. So it'll definitely be different, very, very different. But whatever it takes really for us to get to play, because I really want to play this season.
Would you want them to maybe mic players up more and give us a little bit more of a view of what goes on before the snap if there are no fans in the stands? Because the NFL will have to do something. We'll watch regardless, but you'd have to think the NFL would do something if there's no fans in the stands.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they'll do something to engage the fans at home, but I don't know if everybody wearing mics is. We saw it with the XFL. I know a lot of fans enjoyed it. Me knowing football, kind of knowing the X's and O's and things, I thought it was kind of overkill, and I didn't really feel like I gained a lot of entertainment out of it. But, I mean, then again, it's not my decision to make. If they tell me to wear a mic, wear a mic and try to keep my swearing to a minimum.
Yeah, you got to be careful there. And we know there's a lot of swearing that goes on the football field. A few more minutes with Dare Gumbawale. So that week one matchup, you have the Saints. Jameis Winston, your former quarterback, going to be on the other sideline. Drew Brees going to be the starter, barring some injury. What is that going to be like? I know it's a business, but what is that like when that week one happens and you see Jameis in a Saints uniform on the other sideline?
That would be cool, man. I'll give him a hug just like I always do. That's my boy. We've had great times together, and I'm excited for him. I'm excited he's still getting a chance to play in this league, you know, that a lot of guys don't get a chance to play in. So he'll have a very successful career. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Now he's just on a different team, and I'll be excited to say hi to him.
Let me know when we get to a more serious issue right now, when we're looking to find social justice in this country. Let me know how you're using your platform right now to get the message that you want to get out right now.
I've been joining in on the protest, obviously the donations and things like that. But really the biggest thing for me is just kind of been using my voice. I've always been someone that can kind of articulate exactly what I'm thinking. So I've been able to kind of get people together and talk to different groups of people, different types of people about what's been going on. And I feel like I've gotten some good responses, and people have kind of been taking heed to the things I've been saying. So I've been trying to make sure I continue to do that. I'm very, very blessed to have this platform that I have, and people want to listen to me, especially young people, because those are the ones who kind of been driving this whole movement. And so the young people listening to me has been big for me. So I've been continuing to try to just use my voice, and hopefully people continue to listen.
What have been the conversations like with the team? What can you tell us when, after what happened to George Floyd did happen, the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, what were your teammates' discussions happening in those meetings with Bruce and everyone else?
It was just sadness. You know, it was just kind of sad, especially the African-American, the black guys on the team, all the people of color, for real. It was just kind of just feel like enough's enough, and just not enough is being done in the situations. The racism exists, and a lot of people just are kind of, even people that don't see color, people that don't experience things that racism entails and stuff like that, it exists. And people are starting to see it more and more now that we have, obviously, the protests, the negative things that are coming out. So it exists, and that's one thing that we just had to kind of just put out there in the open. And we've had some good conversations. The guys have kind of asked a lot of questions, which is huge in this whole process. People just asking questions and learning. So that's been the biggest thing. Like I said, just the dialogue that we've had, just a lot of questions and answers.
Now, back in 2016, when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, a lot of the conversation was about the flag and the military. And I think by now, most people can understand the importance of the message, but sometimes that message is still being deflected because of the flag and everything else that goes with it that gets spewed out there. Just wondering, now when this happens in 2020, because I expect players to take a knee during the national anthem or put a fist up in the air, how do you hope that the message gets perceived by fans where in 2016 we really lost sight of the message?
The exact word you used was deflection. I mean, I feel like back in 2016, people heard what Kaepernick said, heard what he was saying, and saw what he was doing, but they chose to deflect it to the flag just because they wanted to remain, quote-unquote, ignorant. Even though they knew about it, they just wanted to appear ignorant to the situation that black people are going through in America. Now that you said the majority of people hopefully understand what Kaepernick is doing, I feel that it should be taken, it'll be received a lot better, for one. Now it's just a matter of what's going to happen when people knee. What's going to is police brutality? Is racism really going to decline when people see the knee, or when people are going to think about it? You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing that I'm excited to see. But there definitely will be a bunch of kneeling. And I'm okay with it for sure. But it's just a matter of what's it going to do. What are we going to do outside of just taking a knee during the national anthem to make the country better, you know, for everybody?
Yeah, I agree with you. I really do appreciate the time. Always enjoy talking to you. We'll end you on a fun one. Like, what have you been doing for fun outside of worrying when the season's going to start and trying to get some brownie points with Tom Brady so he throws you the football this year? Well, what have you been doing for fun these days, Dare Gumbawale?
Hanging out, really. I'm going to the beach. Luckily, in Tampa, you can still stay 6 feet away from people and be on the beach and enjoying time. So, I mean, a couple of buddies, we go to the beach, play spike ball or stuff like that. So, we're just hanging out, being able to. I'm lucky being in Tampa, I can be outside, you know. So, Yeah, that's really what I've been doing. I've gotten into video games a little more than I would like. I'm not good at them at all, but it's all right. I don't really have too many people to play with because I'm not that good, but it's all right. But yeah, mostly just hanging out with some teammates and the friends.
Now, it wasn't your house that Brady wandered into trying to go see Brian Ruffich, right?
I cannot confirm nor deny if that happened, but it wasn't mine, I'll say that.
Dari Agumbawale, thanks so much. Always great to catch up with you. Be well.
Appreciate it. You as well, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.